This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered on this lovely Thursday. We're almost there. So today, I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on with the Title IX changes because, you know, here on the show, I talk a lot about the left's, for as much as they like to say Republicans on their war on women. Well, this is, of course, the real war on women coming from the left. They said that so many years ago. I think little did we know that was just their projection, apparently, of what they planned to be doing a decade later to women. So we've been talking about the latest Title IX rules from the Biden administration that leave our girls in this country who go to public schools just completely defenseless from males not only dominating their sports and destroying their scholarship chances, but also, of course, by males showing up in their private spaces, in their locker rooms, in their changing rooms, in their bathrooms, by, of course, how the Biden administration is doing this is redefining what constitutes sex-based discrimination in schools to include gender identity in the definition. And by the way, those who don't use somebody's preferred pronouns would be in violation of the new Title IX guidelines, according to the Biden regime. I would ask if they had ever read the First Amendment, but I know the answer is no. So to be clear, this leaves young females in this country completely vulnerable to having their rights assaulted, either having to expose themselves while males are in the room and they're uncomfortable, or, you know, potentially having a male expose himself in her presence, which, by the way, shouldn't be lost on you that we used to call that indecent exposure. That was a crime that you could be arrested for. Now it's just like at a Planet Fitness locker room near you any given day of the week. Remember the Me Too era? It wasn't that long ago that it was the left that was pushing this Me Too era. You couldn't look at a woman wrong without being accused of all sorts of things. It really was not that long ago when the left used to pretend to care about protecting women. And I just keep thinking, God, how far we have fallen. The left has completely abandoned protecting women and women's spaces. But I have some good news, okay, on the horizon. At least one state official is fighting back. His name is Ryan Walters, and he is Oklahoma's superintendent of public instruction for the state's Department of Education. And after the Biden regime's attack on girls in schools was announced, what he did was he sent an official letter to all public school superintendents instructing them not to make any changes to their policies based on the latest Title IX guidance, saying, "I believe these rule changes are illegal and unconstitutional. They violate the First Amendment, the Administrative Procedures Act, and longstanding civil rights protections for women and girls. The USDE, Department of Education, has not been given the legislative or judicial authority to redefine sex. And then, please do not make any district policy changes based on the new regulations. These federal rule changes are illegal, and making policy changes before the courts come to a definitive ruling on the legality of these rules could put your district out of compliance with other current and legal state and federal statutes. I believe this is the way." And I would like to welcome to the show Ryan Walters himself. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Sarah, thank you very much. I appreciate your fight on this. I appreciate you fighting for conservative common sense here. And I want to say, by the way, thank you for pointing out the fact of they're absolutely wanting to be the language police here, too. I haven't heard many people talking about that. So I'm so glad you brought that up, that they could absolutely utilize federal government resources against you legally for misgendering a student. That is absolutely part of this. So I really appreciate you bringing that point up too.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so preposterous to me that we are living at a time where, you know, you are trying to tell a young child that they're looking at a biological male and they're saying, yeah, I said he because it's a biological male. And you're telling them to lie to not say that what they know to be true, to lie, to make someone feel more comfortable. It's just crazy to me. So what has the response been from the school administrators over there in the state of Oklahoma?
Well, I'll be honest with you, the initial response has been a lot of them thanking me, a lot of them telling me how much they appreciate it, because what we have seen so many times is, hey, the Department of Education has an edict and states just fall in line with it. And I'll be honest with you, Sarah, not only should states not comply, not only should states fight back, we should send a loud, resounding message to the Federal Department of Education. You guys shouldn't even exist.
Yes.
President Reagan said there shouldn't have been a Federal Department of Education. President Trump said he wished he would have done away with the Federal Department of Education. And I firmly believe him that he is very, very direct that there's not going to be one in his second term. And so you've got this rogue agency that's out there. This is the agency that brought us Common Core, DEI, and now radical gender theory. That this is all being pushed by the Federal Department of Education. Locally, you've got your teachers' union apparatus that forces it and intimidates school officials to abide by it. And so our states have to fight back. Our states have to be crystal clear. And again, here in Oklahoma, hey, we're a red state. I've had a lot of superintendents go, thank you so much. We saw this. We were, you know, legally we were concerned. But hey, we said we'll take on any kind of legal burden. I dare Joe Biden to come down here and try to make us do it. I would love to see him show up in Oklahoma and try to make us do that.
Oh, I would also love to see that happen. So you say, and I completely agree with you, we need more state officials standing up and saying, absolutely not, not in my state, not on my watch. Here we protect females. Let me say that loudly and resoundingly. And I want to ask you, why do you think that we're not seeing more people? Because this seems like such an easy decision. You are talking about protecting half of the population of their schools in a typical, you know, public school to not hurt the feelings of a teeny tiny fraction of people. And I'm like, is it because the squeaky wheel gets the greased and they're the loudest and they're the maddest and everyone's a little bit scared of them, I guess? Why do we not see this more?
I agree with that, but I'm also going to tell you a dirty secret in education that I know you know, because I've heard you talk about it many times on your show. Even in red states, so much of your education system is controlled by Democrats and the teachers union.
When
I came into office right here, we are a very red state. I fired 130 employees from this Department of Education because I came up here and it was a bunch of left-wing bureaucrats that were trying to block families' rights from being protected, parents' rights. They were in here just carrying the water for the teachers' union. They did not want to allow school choice. They wanted to push and embed indoctrination in everything that we were doing. I said, no, you guys go work somewhere else. Not going to happen here. And again, I even had liberal Republicans in the state blasting me for firing so many people. And I go, guys, what do you not understand about a conservative in office? We are not going to allow a left-wing apparatus inside government to undermine our agenda. But I'm going to tell you, even in red states, the teachers union have tremendous control. They own a lot of education bureaucracies. And so, hey, you know, you've got education officials that go, I don't want to touch that. I mean, I know that the Administrators Association, the teachers union will come after me. But it is time for some clarity in education. Republicans have been fighting to get parents' rights back. You've got to speak boldly and clearly, and we have got to break the union stranglehold of our education institutions.
Did you ever think that we would be sitting here in the year 2024? Like, if someone had told you 10 years ago, Ryan, in 2024, this is going to be your position, and you are actually going to have to defend why it's unacceptable to expose young girls to biological men in their most vulnerable spaces. Like, could you ever have predicted that we would have gone so far off the reservation on this?
No, I mean, what you see here is, to your point earlier, is you had these, you know, liberal Democrats that used to claim they were for women's rights and equality. And what you've seen, though, is the most radical elements of their party have truly taken over. I mean, you hear it from President Biden. You know, you're going, why in the world would you put girls in danger? And I'm gonna be very clear on that. It is putting them in danger. We had a boy enter into the girls' restroom here in Oklahoma, assaulted two girls, broke their orbital bones. I mean, a vicious assault because a boy identified as a girl that day, went in the girls' bathroom, got into a fight. That you are putting girls in danger. But their ideology trumps common sense. It trumps, you know, keeping people safe. It trumps girls and women's rights. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, wokeism really is a mind virus. It rots your brain. It makes you say things and do things that are completely illogical. And the Democrat Party has just lost it by listening to this radical element of their base. And this is where we have got to get the country back on track with President Trump back in the White House. And we've got to take back our schools through our boards and our education institutions. We conservatives, we've got to get in there, run the liberals out of town, run the bureaucrats out of town, and let's get this back in track. And what I've been telling states is we have got to take back power from the federal government when it comes to education, eliminate the federal Department of Education, get power back to the states, and then states do like we're doing in Oklahoma. You give that power to the families, give it to the parents. So take power from the feds, bring it back to the states. States put education where it belongs in the hands of our families.
Yeah, I could not agree more, Ryan. Can you come? Can what do I have to do to get you to come to Texas? Can you handle it here?
And meet with you in person. I would love to do
that. No, I want you to be in charge of education here. We need some help here in Texas. I know everyone's like, oh, Texas is the bastion of freedom and liberty and no crazy stuff in schools would ever happen in Texas. Wrong.
And Sarah, I mean, you know, I've been following the school choice debate. Hey, down in Texas, we got to get school choice over the finish line. There's no reason that every red state shouldn't have school choice. I mean, we have got to be able to allow parents to move their kids to the school that they want. But even further, I'm going to tell you, Sarah, one of the secret things we've done here is it's just doing the hard work. Hey, we pass conservative laws. But I'm going to tell you, Sarah, we enforce it here at the Department of Education. If a teacher breaks our critical race theory ban, we pull their teacher's licensure. They can go get another job. They're not going to work in our schools. If schools push critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion, gender theory on our kids, we hold the school's accreditation at risk. They won't be an accredited public school anymore. We are not tolerating this woke nonsense in Oklahoma. We are getting our schools back on track, and we absolutely will not back down to a woke mob.
Well, I appreciate you making the state education in Oklahoma extremely based. I think that more officials in your capacity in other states should follow suit. And I appreciate your boldness and your willingness to protect females. Because to your point, very quickly, to your point earlier that, you know, all of these school administrators are going to you and saying we appreciate it. I think that it sometimes takes the one person to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this. And then everyone was like, oh, thank God, because I really didn't want to do that. But nobody else wants to get up and say it. And so I appreciate you so much. I'm so glad that you are protecting females in your capacity. Well done, sir.
We've got to have more courage. You know, Churchill said courage allows all the other traits to be possible, right? And so we have got to stand firm. We have to stand boldly. And again, you know, leadership matters. If you will show those signs of we're not going to back down, Joe Biden, no, we're not going to. No, you can threaten us all you want. We're not going to allow it. You've got good people in the states, families, parents are watching. We have got to continue fighting for our kids.
Yeah, I appreciate you so much. Oklahoma's State Superintendent Ryan Walters. I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, Sarah.
All right, thank you. When we come back, I've got someone running for Congress that I think probably most of my audience already knows him. You guys already know him and you already love him. But Brandon Herrera joins us. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Preborn. So, look, this is a battle of good and evil that's going on right now in this country, specifically when it comes to the fight for and, of course, against, in our case, abortion. And what Preborn does is they've recognized the fight. They've recognized the uphill battle that we're up against, even with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And so what they've done is that they are going into these communities with their network of clinics. They're going into these communities that have very high abortion rates oftentimes, and they are bringing these pregnancy centers to these women, having them have the option of, you know what, I'm going to go into this center and I'm not going to listen to the lies of the left. I'm actually going to see the ultrasound. I'm going to see my baby and I'm going to hear its heartbeat. And what they don't realize is that oftentimes that is a life-changing moment for a woman. It is a divine encounter. Those of you who are parents, you know this. The first time you heard your baby's heartbeat, you were like, holy cow, that's my baby and it's alive inside me. I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it. And they are twice as likely to choose life, $28 is the cost of one ultrasound. And so I'm just asking you guys, how many babies can you help us save here at Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered? However many that is, I am encouraging you guys to donate securely over at preborn.com/Sarah. Again, it's $28 and you're probably going to end up saving that baby's life. So how many babies' lives can you save over at preborn.com/Sarah? There's no H in Sarah. It's just an unnecessary letter. preborn.com/Sarah. So earlier this week, I played a clip of, I think maybe, potentially, Vladimir Zelensky's bestie. Certainly one of Ukraine's greatest allies. America, not so much, okay? Also, one of Texas's greatest embarrassments, Congressman Tony Gonzalez, who mocked and insulted America First lawmakers who, you know, just oppose pissing our money away in a giant money laundering operation, sending it to Ukraine. And for those who missed it, here was that moment. Watch.
He will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties.
No,
Bob Good endorsed
my
opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime.
Okay. So just to be clear, this guy is garbage, just absolute garbage. But luckily, his district has an opportunity to take the garbage out next month in the primary runoff. He was forced into one of those. You heard him say in that clip, my opponent is a known neo-Nazi. And I want to welcome to the show Brandon Herrera, Gonzalez's opponent in the 23rd Congressional District in Texas, who, Brandon, I know you from social media. I know you from your YouTube channel, where, of course, you those of you who are watching, you can see the many guns displayed behind Brandon, which it just,
a couple.
It looks amazing. I would like to be invited there someday. But I didn't know all this time that you were a known neo-Nazi with the last name Herrera.
It's kind of funny, the term known neo-Nazi. The first time I heard that, you know, obviously watching the clip from CNN, I'm thinking, known to who? Clearly not by me. But no, it's a pleasure to be on, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're here. So I've been wanting to do this for a while, just because I am so sick to death of rhinos being able to not just exist in Texas, but also seemingly thrive. And I want you, obviously, I'm sure you've been campaigning out there in that district, but explain to everyone why you think it is. Why has Tony Gonzalez been able to keep his seat for as long as he has?
Well, it's a consistent problem that I've talked about that Texas Republicans seem to have, which is that people within the party, people who are incumbents in the state of Texas, think that they can just coast on the idea that as long as they have an R in front of their name, their voters will continue to vote for them and they'll continue to keep their job no matter how they vote. If they vote against the interest of their constituents, if they vote against the interests of Texas, if they vote against the Constitution, as long as they're a Republican in a red district, they'll be able to keep their jobs. And that's just not the case anymore. As we showed on March 5th, we were able to take our incumbent congressman below 50% because of the votes that he made. And now on May 28th, hopefully we send the same message over again.
Why is he so weak at the border? I mean, it affects his constituents, right? It affects you guys in the 23rd district. Why is he so
Absolutely.
Weak on it?
You know, I think there was a time where people thought in the district, in the District 23 of Texas, that we needed a more moderate kind of milquetoast Republican because it was, you know, it's a district that historically has gone blue in the past. So they thought we maybe need somebody who can appeal to the Democrats, to independents, but redistricting has happened in the district. And it is a much more Republican, much more conservative district now than it ever has been. And so now we can actually get a real conservative here representing the district and not have to settle for the one that we were forced to, which I think is starting to happen now. I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that we have more options and we can get a real conservative here.
Yeah. And to your point about just how bad he's been, I was looking earlier at the Conservative Review Liberty score, and I think he got like a 58% Liberty score, and he voted with Democrats at least 42% of the time, which I feel like, to your point, is not why people elect a Republican to represent them in office, especially when the lines seem so clearly drawn these days. I mean, it's like, so if you're voting with the Democrats this time around, you are voting to ship all of our tax money to Ukraine. You are voting to fund apparently every foreign conflict and not secure our own border. You're voting to, you know, trans our children. Like, it's very, very different, the left and the right these days. And it's shocking to me that we would have in Texas a Republican congressman voting with Democrats 42% of the time.
It's amazing. Yeah, a 58% Liberty score. You wouldn't be able to graduate high school if you had a 58% on your report card. But there's so many policies that really need to be reined in from these Rhino Republicans that, you know, we can't continue to say that we're America first, that we care about Americans more than we care about the rest of the world. Like, we're focusing on our own issues first. If we're able to do things like, for example, the foreign aid package that was just pushed forward, where we had a perfect bargaining chip. We have finally had something that the left wanted. And not only did we fully capitulate, we didn't ask for anything in return. We gave them everything they could have possibly wanted without asking for any border measures, without any infrastructure, anything that would have actually helped Americans. We fully handed them everything that they wanted and asked for nothing and said, thank you. That can't be allowed to continue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially after, I think it sets a really, really dangerous precedent with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson previously claiming that he would not allow anything to pass without meaningful border security. He said it over and over and over again, and then he capitulated, which to me is worse because then they're not going to take you seriously at all. Why would they? You just rolled over on them. So speaking of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, he just recently, I saw, was over in your neck of the woods helping Tony Gonzalez fundraise.
It's really funny to see that because there was just a couple weeks ago, he was very, very loud in saying that we cannot, he was calling on House Republicans to not get involved in primaries because it causes infighting and it's not productive. And then weeks later, he ends up showing up campaigning for my opponent, Tony Gonzalez, which is really entertaining to me because it really shows that, you know, as somebody who was before, you know, labeled by the establishment as a not serious candidate, somebody just a YouTuber, you know, this isn't really going to have any real effect on the race. And then now we took him to a runoff. Now, all of a sudden, we have the Speaker of the House campaigning to try to allow the incumbent Tony to keep his job. It's very entertaining to me. But it's very hypocritical in my eyes that he was scolding Matt Gaetz for getting involved in this race just 2-3 weeks before getting involved himself. And I really think that should be a big indicator of the way that this race is swinging.
Yeah, I agree as well. They would not be sending him there if they were not scared to lose one of their, you know, uniparty voters. So, Brandon, tell everyone, what are you going to prioritize first? I like to say not if, but when you go to D.C., what are you going to prioritize?
So thankfully, I've gotten a lot of good connections, a lot of good friends within the Republican Party, the conservative wing, the actual conservative wing of the Republican Party, that I would love to be able to work with them on America First kind of stuff. I really want to prioritize the thing that we've been wanting to get for a long time now, single issue spending bills. I think that is a must if we're going to fix the situation that we're in. We need to crack down on the border. We need somebody who's not just going to talk about it, somebody who's going to be about it, and somebody who's going to stand there and be a roadblock against unconstitutional measures, against the warrantless wiretapping of American citizens, against all of these uniparty initiatives that Tony has been so happy to vote for. We need somebody that is not just going to hand it to them on a silver platter, but somebody who's actually going to stand against these things and not help push them forward.
Yeah. Are we ever going to get meaningful border security, do you think?
I think we can. So the number one thing that I've heard campaigning across the district, because I've been to Eagle Pass, I've been to Del Rio, I've been to El Paso, I've been to all, I mean, District 23 has the most border frontage with Mexico of any district in the entire country. And listening to the National Guard guys, listening to the Border Patrol guys who are actually there on the ground, they have all the funding they need. They have the vehicles, they have the equipment, they have the technology, they have the manpower. The number one thing I hear from them when I actually get to talk to them one-on-one is that they just need the rules of engagement to allow them to do the job that they signed up to do. And that's something that I would like to prioritize.
Yeah, it's wild when you hear from like the Border Patrol Union and they're like, yeah, we hate Joe Biden. They, like, they don't even try to pretend anymore. They're just saying this man will not allow us to do our jobs and he is making the country more dangerous. And when you think about it, that's how it's reflective of how bad it's gotten, because Joe Biden is basically their boss. He's like their boss's boss. And they're like, this guy sucks. And then when the Border Patrol is saying that about their boss, that's really indicative of how bad it is down at the border.
Oh, yeah. That's why I think it's important to talk to the actual people there on the ground, because yeah. A lot of people try to refer you over to, oh, well, this is our media supervisor. This is our media person. Here's their card. Talk to them. They'll be glad to tell you the situation. It's not worth your time, because you're talking to somebody whose boss is Joe Biden.
Right.
So you're going to get the company line. You're not going to learn anything. But if you talk to the guys on the ground, you turn the cameras off, you turn the cell phones off, and you actually just listen to what the guys doing the job have to say, you learn a completely different picture.
Yeah. So how are you feeling? You feeling good?
I think if the last week has been anything of an indicator, the CNN meltdown that my opponent has done, declaring war on the conservative part of the Republican Party, the fact that we have the Speaker of the House campaigning against me, mm-hmm. a political novice, as I'm called on Fox News, I think it's a really good indicator that the uniparty is genuinely scared. And yeah. I think we've got a lot of good momentum behind us in the grassroots.
I agree. And I commend you for running. And, you know, I mean, look, my best friend, Chad Prather, ran for governor. So I understand the toll that it takes on someone and just how difficult it is and how much time and energy you spend in, you know, essentially trying to make your area, your community, a more conservative place. So I appreciate what you're doing there, and I wish you the best of luck. I when I saw that Mike Johnson was coming out to fundraise for Tony Gonzalez, I was like, this is an unintended gift to Brandon yes. Herrera. This is amazing. These people are just showing us exactly who they are. And they don't even realize it, because they're so tone deaf. They don't understand. We're like, oh, okay. Now I see. All right, great. I know who to vote for. And it's not that guy. So.
Yeah, because they think that the more money, the more resources we can divert to this person. Yep. Oh, obviously, the better it is for them. But in reality, the people who show up to runoff elections
yep.
are the people who pay attention politically. And if they're seeing the uniparty Republicans, the fake conservatives lining up behind this guy, and meanwhile, the real conservatives, the people I actually want to work with to get things done in Congress, are aligning with me. Anybody paying attention to that is going to realize very quickly where they actually need to put their vote.
Yeah, amen. I couldn't agree more. All right, Brandon, tell everyone where they can go to help support your campaign.
So the website is BrandonHerreraForCongress.com. I greatly appreciate the support. I appreciate the opportunity to be on here today. And hopefully we'll be able to work together on something going forward.
Yeah, I would love it. And best of luck to you. I have very high hopes. And by the way, when you get there, if you don't do what you say you're going to do, I'm coming for you, Brandon.
Do it. Hold me accountable. That's the whole point. Hold me accountable.
I'm gonna. But I won't call you a known neo-Nazi, because I know that that's not true. Thank you, Brandon, so much.
Makes you better than my opponent.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's true. I am the Gonzalez that you want to befriend, not that other Gonzalez. He sucks.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Brandon. Thanks. Come back soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. All right. So we've got to take a quick break. We will be back with our panel. First, we want to thank our sponsor this segment, Patriot Mobile. So you want to talk about being in the battle when it comes to trying to fight for conservative values. Patriot Mobile is also on the front lines. They are not only America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, but they are putting their money where their mouth is. Because, see, when you give to Big Mobile, when you purchase a plan with Big Mobile, a phone with Big Mobile, what they're doing is they are taking a portion of your hard-earned money that you're sending in your bill, and they're sending it to left-leaning or left-wing causes, radical causes that you fight so hard to, you know, you're fighting against. Patriot Mobile is going to do the same thing, except they're going to fund all of the causes that you believe in. So they've been instrumental down at the border fighting sex trafficking with Yakubuyans. They have been instrumental in flipping school boards, local school board elections that we have flipped to conservative school board representation. They are really in the battle with us. So go to patriotmobile.com. They offer dependable nationwide coverage, all three major networks. So you're going to get the same coverage that you get either way. And you know that you're not going to be funding the left. patriotmobile.com/ Sarah. You can find whatever kind of plan you need. They'll customize it for you. You get free activation when you use the offer code Sarah. That is patriotmobile.com/Sarah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I want to welcome my panel to the program. We have Matthew Marsden, Blaze TV contributor and actor and producer extraordinaire, along with Yaku Buyens, Blaze TV contributor and, of course, founder of Yaku Buyens Ministries, which I would encourage everyone to go there, check them out, helpjbm.org, and donate what you can, because they are doing God's work, quite literally, fighting sex trafficking in so many different places. I am glad you both are here to talk about the breaking news today that the New York Court of Appeals has overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction in a 4-3 decision. Now, this was, of course, its appeal, so it's some sort of procedural error potentially that they're looking at. So this one in specifically was they ruled that the trial showed prejudice to Harvey Weinstein by allowing women to testify about allegations that were not actually part of the case. And so he will now face a new trial. The attorney's office did say that they do intend to retry him. And his accusers are now, I guess, the ones who are supposed to be on the stand are now going to probably be forced to retell their stories on the witness stand. And he's 72 now. Last time I saw a picture of him, he did not look well. Now, he will remain in prison because he was convicted in Los Angeles in 2022 of another rape. But very crazy turn to what I thought was open and shut. And somehow, I guess, maybe I talked about it and I forgot because I've slept since then. But I didn't even realize that this was on the table.
Yeah.
And then I was on and I was like, wait, what? Harvey Weinstein's appeal? Wait, huh? So rape conviction, now the victims have to go through that all over again.
And that's really the key thing to focus on here is they have to come retell their story. Do they have the fight to do that in them? You know, and it is a traumatization and a re-traumatization and exploit. It's exploitive of the survivors. He's going to be in jail for a long time because the California case stood. I think there's potentially, if they can get the survivors, the victims, to come forward and testify stronger this time. It was a technicality. Here it was a little, and really that's what frustrates me about the American legal system is on a technicality like that, something is inadmissible in court. Well, it was outside of the boundaries. He cut it outside the lines. But there is also a chance on a new trial like this that there could be a stronger conviction where his penalty could be stronger. So it is also an opportunity to muster up stronger evidence and maybe stronger testimony. So they just need to keep fighting because it's not good that this happened. And it's not good that they have to retake the stand. But let's swing for the fences. Let's get a stronger conviction this time.
I mean, it makes you wonder sometimes, like, was this just total incompetence or did you guys just want this eventually to get overturned? I mean, it's just, it's hard to comprehend.
Well, it's amazing considering the same, well, it's New York, right? Who are, right. Look at what they're doing right now with Trump. All of a sudden, they're worried about doing things the right way.
That's a great point.
Hang on a minute. But look, he's going to die in jail.
Yes.
Right? So why put these people through it? I mean, this is a moral question. It doesn't matter about the legalities, in my opinion, because what's the outcome going to be? All right, it gets quashed. He's still going to be in jail for what he did in California. Yep. Although I did read today that they might even look at that.
They are. They are looking at that, and that's what evil does, right? When it gets a foothold, it says double down, and we see the left double down on these things all the time. I do not, but you don't know. It's Gavin Newsom territory, so you never know, man. I mean, we just let a guy go that murdered an American. I mean, so anything at this crazy country at this time goes. But I don't see that happening. But I'm with you in this. You know, the survivors, the victims, when they get justice, survivors may look at this and go, you know what? I don't want to go back up there. I don't want the scrutiny. I don't want the cameras in my face. It's a re-traumatization. I just don't want to do it because he is in prison.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if he walks out of Cali, that's a completely different argument. But that's also a different set of witnesses, right? Mm-hmm. That's a different case. It's very likely that they may say, we don't want to go back on the stand.
You would think that would be what they would say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What I mean, again, what would their motivation be to go through all that again?
I think that when you're looking at the lawyers, you got to look and think that they are, you know, probably wanting to do this for clout, right? Because what is the end goal of this? You're gonna get him off? Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to get him off, or is it because you just want a platform because he is such a huge figure and that was such a huge decision?
And it wasn't the right decision from the get-go, right? There was infinitely more evidence, infinitely more cases. He wasn't even charged by the right account. I mean, he should have been charged as a trafficker, right? And not just a sex offender. But here's the nuance. Survivors of sex crimes, let's say it's person A that's abusing three girls, and one girl gets to speak and the guy goes to jail. The other two, it doesn't necessarily always make them feel like they got justice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the case here where you may very well have plaintiffs and come back and testify again to go, I know he's in the jail in California, but my case, we see it often. And we have 10 cases under management at the moment. And so it's interesting, though. It's not good. I don't like that someone has to go back on the stand and relive that because, you know, you're being cross-examined.
Right.
I mean, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Well, and brutal. Also, I mean, it does seem like it would give I'm not saying in this particular situation, but generally speaking, you would think it would give the defense an edge because they could see where if there were holes that they previously didn't see previous, absolutely. Then they can go back through and read the transcript and know, okay, well, I'll have this base covered. I'll have an argument for this. I'll know to poke a hole in this theory. And so it's almost like they get like a free pass,
yeah,
or a free shot.
If I was on the prosecution side of this, and we're not involved, and we were involved in that case early on in California, we're not involved right now, I would look for opportunity to bring fresh evidence to the table,
yeah,
and potentially new witness. But there's parameters, there's boundaries to that also. I mean, you got to submit the evidence, defense looks at it. I mean, and then again, you come back to old New York, New York. There's still a judge that doesn't look at life the way we look at life. They don't look at life through a lens of justice for an individual. They look at it politically motivated and look at President Trump. What's happening in that city. It doesn't have to be right or wrong. It's just whatever they want to make it to be.
And you know, the truth of the matter is, if they wanted to go, let's say that they wanted to drag a lot of other people in California, you know as well as I do, in Hollywood, that would expose.
Buddy.
Yeah.
I mean.
You guys have no idea.
I mean.
Right?
We got the names and the lists and even this Puff Daddy thing, not even a fraction of what the public think is going to happen is truly going to happen. There's so much defense behind the back. There's so much payoff and cover and, hey, I got this on you. You got that on me. It's sick to the core. It takes tremendous, tremendous bravery for a victim to step up on a witness stand. We're launching a new federal case next week. Of a teenager who's actually going to say, I want to go. I want to stand on the stand. And it takes unbelievable bravery. And they know that.
Yeah.
They play against that.
Yeah. Did you ever, before we go to break, did you ever cross paths with Harvey Weinstein?
Do you know, it's funny because I went to dinner with a priest actually once at the, what was the name? The Peninsula Hotel.
Yeah.
And I remember him walking in and he recounted this to me and I didn't remember it. I said, oh, the devil himself has just walked in. And he goes, what? And I went, as Harvey Weinstein over there, everybody knew that he was, he was an unpalatable person. But here's the thing. The only reason why he was, I believe that he was really exposed was because he was so powerful and they just wanted to get him out of the way. Because he, if you wanted to get an Oscar, you went to Harvey Weinstein. Like, he was the guy that did the Oscar winning movies. And everybody knew that. Certainly, well, I've got to be careful what I say.
First ex-Hollywood actor to ever admit what I've said all along. Hollywood offered Harvey up.
Yeah.
They gave him up. They ratted on him. They gave him up. Because audition couches rank through that city.
He's not the only one.
Oh, my gosh.
He's absolutely not the only one.
Yeah. Well, and then meanwhile, they're like, I can't believe he would do such a thing, knowing that they're all doing it.
That's why Ricky Gervais's monologue was the greatest
ever,
because he called it all out.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys want, you know, go and watch Ricky Gervais's Golden Globes monologue, and he just destroys everyone. That's why they're like, and anyone that's in the industry was like, I can't believe he's doing this. This is amazing.
That we've all known.
Yeah.
Everybody is known. And all the folks who was arm in arm with Harvey, the Oprahs, the Charlize Therons or whatever, all of a sudden, oh, he's a despicable human being. I'm like, you just hosted him at your house. I mean, you're chummy because you want the Oscar.
Yeah.
You want, you know, it's yeah.
Wild. Well, we'll keep you posted on the that case and how it shakes out. And then you guys mentioned the weaponization of the judicial system against Donald Trump. Let's talk about the latest in that when we come back. Well, the Supreme Court today heard arguments on whether or not Donald Trump was allowed to invoke presidential immunity to shake off some of his, you know, all of these criminal charges that they've waged against him, the 91 indictments, just the ones that special counsel Jack Smith is in charge of for what they called, I was reading earlier today that they were saying, but what if the president instructed people to wage a coup? And I'm like, what world were you living in on January 6th when he allegedly did that? Because what I saw was a president who told people to peacefully and patriotically make their voices heard at their house. And I'm saying their house, right? That's our house. And all he was doing was saying, go there peacefully, which to me doesn't constitute a coup at all. But I want to play Donald Trump speaking in Manhattan this morning. You might wonder, why wasn't he over listening to the arguments over at the Supreme Court? Oh, because remember, the judge won't let him leave. The judge said he has to stay every single day that this trial is going on. He has to be present. But that, please, they're not trying to eliminate his ability to campaign or anything. So here is Donald Trump in Manhattan this morning speaking about the presidential immunity arguments today.
Mr. President, did you know
presidential immunity? Are you confident the justice
well,
that you
we have a big case today. This judge isn't allowing me to go. We have a big case today in the Supreme Court on presidential immunity. A president has to have immunity. If you don't have immunity, you just have a ceremonial president. You won't have immunity.
You know about this.
So we have a big
Do you watch him talk about this stuff these days? And just, I just feel so sorry for him. He's clearly a very strong man, right? Like, he's clearly strong. It doesn't look like he's letting it get to him. But I'm just like, it's like a feeling in the pit of my stomach. That
because
is just like, I can't,
it's not right.
I can't believe they're doing this to him.
Because he's dying. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what you're feeling in your stomach. You're witnessing, and this is going to be a little too heavy maybe for the viewers, but hey, it is dinner time, so deal with it. I mean, you're witnessing death.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. You're witnessing the death of morality. You're witnessing the death of the proud defense of a nation, of a constitution, what we immigrated here for, literally, what we swore an allegiance to this place for, what we renounced our citizenship to another land for, you know, you're witnessing, this is so significant. I'm concerned. I'm really concerned. Not Trump's tough. The dude is like tungsten. I mean, he is tempered steel, right? And he's still a human being, right? But I'm concerned for the American people that just want to put him out there and go do it, buddy. Come on, we're cheering for you. Go do it. And I'm not really, really seeing us doing it on the ground in the communities and really mustering up, you know. So it's, we better buckle up, saddle up.
I mean, look, it's a long-term problem because it's not just about Trump. It's the same thing when you look at the military. Like, yeah, my son just turned 18 and he wanted to go to West Point. It's not a chance. Even though that's a great place, there's not a chance I'd want my kid to go into the military.
Absolutely not.
Go back 5 years ago, I would have been the proudest father in the world. But I'm not going to put my son into that situation with, I'm not saying they all are, but you know, the woke mob that's in there are going to put his life at risk. I mean, you know all about this. This is a real life and death situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would you run for office now? Would you run for? There's no way. No. So many good people are like, it's not worth it.
Right.
And if it was equal, and I think this is, for me, the biggest problem is you kind of go, oh, well, you know, they get away with this because they're president. They're never going to get prosecuted. So we all kind of know that. But you're like, okay, well, our side isn't going to get it. Their side isn't going to get it. It's like, you know, are they going to, if they say now that they don't have immunity, are they going to go back and go after Barack Obama for killing that kid with a drone strike, the American citizen?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what they're going to have to do. But guess what? Do you think that our side will do it? Because I don't.
No.
I know that they won't, actually. They will not go and do it. They will not do what the left has done. They'll go, okay, roll over like a puppy, right? Like submitting to the alpha, and the last for their stomach to be rubbed, right? And that's it, right? Because they're very happy with getting the scraps.
Look, the fact that we're even in the Supreme Court debating whether a president should or should not have immunity is laughable. He
also immunity not, for what?
Yeah, not just him. Any president, you cannot operate as the commander in chief. It's impossible to operate. Case in point, particularly when it comes to defending your nation. Particularly when it... Imagine you tell Benjamin Netanyahu right now, you don't have immunity. Or for that sake, in Russia, even Putin. You know, you just can't operate in times of war without it. But the fact that he has to even defend that, the fact that he's facing battles on behalf of the nation that no other president's ever had to face, ever. Barack Obama stand in the Supreme Court and said, I should have immunity. Bill Clinton, are you kidding me? I mean, these guys had it easy.
If Obama were, can you imagine this happened to Obama? There would be cities on fire all over.
Yeah, of course.
It would just be burnt down. And you know what? Rightly so, actually. Because he shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And as you
that's
said.
That's what I mean by the guy is fighting, but I'm not seeing the pushback from the people.
Right.
It's like we want to put the guy up there and go, we're cheering for you. And I can almost hear him say, hey, would you come off the stands onto the field?
Yeah.
Not just show up at my rallies. That's all dandy. No, get in the thick of things. Ask this girl. Ask her. Ask her if people show up. They don't.
Sure don't. Sure don't.
They don't show up.
But they do. I know we got to go to break in a second. But they do always tell me, thank you for what you're doing.
Of course. I'm like, I get thank yous in the airport.
Right. I'm like, okay, you're welcome. But it sure would be nice if you guys would help. I'm only one person. Imagine the difference we could make with all of us. So it's really frustrating. All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. So speaking of Donald Trump and the war that they've waged on him, I want to read you guys one of his Truth Social posts. Wow, former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. Based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement.
That's funny.
Thank you, Bill. MAGA 2024.
He's not removing slow moving.
He's not removing
Let
weak,
me look at my tweet. What can I pull?
Gutless.
You know what? I'm going to throw you, gutless got to step, but I'm going to throw you a little olive branch here. Not
so
slow moving.
Good. How can you not want this man back in the White House?
It's funny.
And he does that all while being dragged over the coals in a court case.
He's in two trials simultaneously.
Yeah, well, I mean, who can blame him, by the way, for holding resentment towards Bill Barr? for, as he said, not investigating voter fraud. But God, man, the fact that he can, as you point out, be going through all of this and still be like, I'm a jab at Bill Barr. I'd just say it's a lot stronger than the weak one we have in office now.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.